Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum. Celebrate the opening of I Saw It, Francisco de Goya Printmaker, with an evening of live music, art making, live model drawing, tours, and more. Saturday, April 20th from 4 to 6:30 p.m. Info at nortonsimon.org.
What we learned investigating the death of Chicano student activist Oscar Gomez.
It sounds like you ran almost every theory to its end.
Binge all 8 episodes of Imperfect Paradise, The Forgotten Revolutionary, wherever you get your podcasts.
LAist Studios.
A very good Saturday to you. This is the weekend edition of the LA Report from LAist 89.3. I'm Julia Paskin, and coming up after the news, if you're looking to listen to live music in LA that doesn't break the bank, our how-to LA producers reveal some hidden gems and how you can enjoy the city's music scene without draining your savings account. That's coming up in just a few minutes, but first, here's the news.
The federal corruption trial of suspended L.A. City Council member Mark Ridley Thomas is now in the hands of the jury. LAist civics and democracy correspondent Frank Stoltz reports.
Prosecutors accuse Ridley Thomas of supporting a county contract that benefited USC's School of Social Work in exchange for the school's dean giving his son a full scholarship and faculty job. In their closing argument, they acknowledge there's no single document that lays out a conspiracy. Instead, they pointed to a flurry of phone calls and emails that they said showed Ridley Thomas and the dean were using winks and nods. The defense said the progressive Ridley Thomas would have supported the measures for USC anyway, and that there was no quid pro quo. And it said a $100,000 payment funneled from Ridley Thomas through USC to a nonprofit operated by his son may have looked bad, but was not illegal. I'm Frank Stoltz.
And in-person voting begins today in the special election to replace former L.A. City Council member Nuri Martinez. Martinez resigned in October after she was caught on a secret recording making racist, homophobic, and anti-Indigenous comments. Current council member Kevin De Leon and their former colleague Gil Cedillo were also on that tape. The 6th City Council District stretches from Sun Valley west to Lake Balboa in the San Fernando Valley. Election day is April 4th. If no one gets the majority of votes, there'll be a runoff election between the top two finishers in June. The theater company The Actors Gang, founded by Tim Robbins, runs a program in the state correction system that uses theater practices to heal. Now a group of formerly incarcerated performers is telling their stories in a new play at The Actors Gang in Culver City. The show is called Immigrants of the State, and we are joined now by directors Jeremy Lanka and Richard Loya. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, our pleasure.
So, Richard, I should note that you also perform in the show. This production is a product of a program through the Actors Game called The Prison Project. Can you tell us about that work in the California correctional system and also how you got involved in this work yourself?
I'm formerly incarcerated, and it was inside in 2016. Jeremy and the team of The Prison Project came in. I was a lifer. A lifer means I was sentenced to a 27 years to life sentence. I ended up doing 30 years in prison. If you can imagine, I took dozens and dozens of self-help classes, but nothing was helping me to connect with emotions that I had so long had put behind. Going in at 16 years old with this life sentence, I became hardened in heart. But it wasn't until the Actors Gang came in, because it's a highly intense style of theater that deals with emotions. And so just helping me reconnect with humanity and with those emotions and sincerity and remorse and empathy, I was able to gain all that back through this program. I paroled a year later. And it wasn't until a year later after I came home that one day I decided to go to the theater. I just merely wanted to go to the theater and thank Jeremy and the team for helping me come home. And Jeremy asked, he says to me, we'd love to have you join our team. So I said, sign me up.
Jeremy, can you walk us through how, as an ensemble and through workshopping, how you brought people's real life experiences into a staged and scripted theater piece?
It was a challenge, to be honest with you. It's, pulling 14 stories together isn't necessarily easy. And so what we did is we all got together and really sat down and first started hashing out what everybody wanted to say with the piece. What were the themes that they wanted to be prevalent? What did they want to say about the carceral system here in California and their experience with it? And so some folks just took to it immediately and started writing content that they wanted to be put in. And others definitely had things they wanted to say. But what we had to do, which was a journey to figure out, is they would come into the room, they would share their story. And so they would all get together as an ensemble and start to figure out what these little pieces were. It became really a natural process to see what our through line was and start to figure out how to weave them together.
The characters on stage take responsibility for the choices they made within their own narratives, but also places those choices in a greater context that humanizes them. And we don't get to see a lot of very compassionate depictions of people who have been incarcerated in the media. So Richard, I was hoping you could talk about how the play uses theatrical storytelling to break assumptions and to create living, breathing characters.
And part of this process, when I've had, you know, my brothers and sisters come up to me and say, you know, Rich, this is helping me in a way that in playing out these scenes, I am now feeling what I should have been feeling then when it was happening. With that comes the healing part. And so these characters that we play, there are truths, you know, they're lived experience. And with that comes vulnerability, right? There's a lot of vulnerable moments you're seeing being played out right in front of you.
That's Jeremy Lunca and Richard Loya, directors of Immigrants of the State, now performing in repertory at the Actors Gang in Culver City through April 7th. Thank you so much to you both for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. Pleasure.
And in other news around town, today is the culmination of a huge restoration project in the Santa Monica Mountains National Recreation Area. The park is planting its 100,000th tree after 3 years of cultivating them. Spokesperson Anna Cholo says the park first lost thousands of trees to drought.
And so then when the Woolsey Fire came along, which destroyed like 90% of our park, many more trees and plants were burned and lost. And so then that's when restoring plant communities became a goal for the park.
Thousands of volunteers have planted native trees and plants, including coast live oaks, willows, and sycamore trees. Also, a replica of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall is currently in Hawaiian Gardens. An exhibit at Fetty Middle School features a mobile education center and a three-quarter scale recreation of the wall. It's open to the public 24 hours through tomorrow. The union representing 30,000 cafeteria workers, custodians, and other support staffers at the LA Unified School District have reached a 3-year contract agreement with LAUSD following a 3-day strike. SEIU Local 99 says the average annual salary for its members will increase by about 30%. District Superintendent Alberto Carvalho called it a record-setting deal.
This is a multi-year agreement, the likes of which has never been negotiated in this district, the likes of which has never been negotiated across the state or across the country.
Max Arias, executive director of the SEIU Local, says the deal will have a ripple effect across the country and even the state.
This is also going to have an impact. When you receive a raise that is basically a third of your salary per year, there will be an impact in the community. These dollars will dynamize the economy.
This deal also includes health care benefits for more workers. For those that have work at least 4 hours a week, their families will get covered too. Also, special education assistance will also get more hours. We have the local unemployment numbers for February. In LA County, the jobless rate was 4.9%. That's down from 5.7% in February of last year. Statewide, California added more than 32,000 jobs, mostly in education and health services. And as always, leisure and hospitality. Wildlife connectivity is the ability for animals to move freely from one habitat to another. And now the White House Council on Environmental Quality has issued guidance for federal agencies on how to incorporate connectivity into their practices. Aaron Cito is U.S. Public Policy Director for the advocacy group Wildlands Network. She says local efforts can guide federal agencies to incorporate ecological connectivity.
Folks on the ground in L.A., in San Diego, in all of Southern California working on this are trying to figure out how we can allow the animals to move from the city habitats that some of them are acclimating to, such as mountain lions, and figuring out how they can easily get out into these public lands.
For now, it's up to federal agencies to see how they can incentivize organizations and private landowners to incorporate wildlife connectivity into their practices.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Imagine if you could charge your electric vehicle at the places you already love to eat, shop, and play. Whether you're at the movies, on your weekly grocery trip, or running errands at your local mall, Volta EV charging stations are built around your day-to-day and located in your community and nationwide. All you have to do is check in, plug in, and go about your day. It's EV charging made convenient. Download the Volta app to find your new favorite place to charge.
Welcome back to the LA Report. I'm Julia Paskin. Los Angeles is the music capital of the world. It's where all the big studios are. So many famous musicians live here, and there are major concerts every night of the week. But with huge price tags for concerts these days, including those increasingly high ticketing platform fees, it can feel hard to find places to see live music that's free or inexpensive. Recently, How to LA producers Evan Jacoby and Megan Botel took us to a few spots around town where you can see live music without breaking the bank.
Is there like a specific energy playing in LA versus other cities?
People are just so reactive. It's like having 800 best friends in the crowd and you've never met them before. They go, man. They're just like, all right, let's enjoy this. Let's dance. Let's sing along. People that have never seen you before, they sing along, they party. It's fucking great.
From LA Studios, this is How to LA. I'm Evan Jacoby.
And I'm Megan Botel. And today, we're bringing you some spots where you can catch some live jams for free.
Or very cheap, from the music capital of the world.
This is How to LA Cheap Live Jams?
Cheap Live Beats? Cheap live music?
Why'd you say music?
Because it's funny.
Oh. And we should note that there are other places in this country where live music is everywhere. Nashville, New Orleans, New York obviously has a big scene, Chicago. And in those places, free or very cheap music is a lot more accessible.
Yeah, it can kind of be the norm. So that's why tonight we wanted to go around and find some cool spots to share with y'all where you can experience that joy without breaking the bank.
Here we are at Industry Cafe and Jazz in Culver City-ish.
No, this is officially Culver City.
It's an Ethiopian restaurant and a jazz lounge.
And tonight there's a four-piece jazz outfit.
There's an energy to live music. You can tell walking through a space, wherever it is, if you hear music, you instantly know if it's live music or if it's just a recording. I love the live aspect of playing with these other musicians because anything and everything can happen on a gig. You know, it's jazz, it's all improvised.
This spot has been doing live jazz music almost every night for nearly 20 years.
My name's Sean Stackpool. I play saxophone and flute. We're the Sean Stackpool Quartet.
My name is Evan Pouchek, and I play drums.
Blake White. I play bass.
My name's Ron Berman. I play guitar.
You know, I've been here a couple of times, actually, once on a really bad date, and even though the date sucked, I still got to enjoy some nice jazz, so.
And of course, the music is completely free. You just have to, you know, pay for whatever you eat or drink. What's your favorite part about playing live music?
Definitely the spontaneity. People in the audience, even if you don't directly see them, you feel it, and it's a symbiotic kind of response.
It's been really nice to kind of get back to playing, particularly because during the pandemic, we've all just kind of been in our practice rooms, and to be able to work on things and then try them out live and then see people's reaction to them, we're just getting back to kind of getting that again, and it's been a really nice feeling to see people respond well to something that you've worked on.
The budget for the city of Vienna, for the opera, for all of the classical tradition, whatever, was greater than the total amount of money that the United States spend on the arts.
Do you think that music should be accessible and free?
I think music should be free and accessible, but yet at the same time, obviously, people should be able to do what they love and to be able to live doing that.
The first time I was able to get back together with musicians and play music, I cried. It means everything. That's my favorite thing in the planet to do, is to play music with other musicians.
I think it's at least an 11 on a scale of 1 to 10. Yeah, it feels amazing to be with people.
So we had our tea, some Ethiopian pastries.
Talked all about jazz.
What's this? What are you doing?
That's what jazz cats do. They snap their fingers.
I'm not sure if that's what they do.
And speaking of the power of music and community, this is not the right alleyway.
What are you talking about?
Now we're headed to a very different environment.
Okay, so we're downtown LA, walking into the smell. We're walking over piled up curb stoppers.
Whoa!
We're going to an all ages punk show, as full grown adults might be kind of weird.
You're not allowed to use me saying whoa.
We didn't dress properly.
I'm Shaden, and I'm at The Smell. I'm a vendor here, and I silk screen and sell shirts and prints and things like that. I just like to go around to different music scenes and different shows and vend my things that I make. The Smell is one of the best examples of replicating griminess, because it's like one of the only venues in LA that actually is in like an alleyway, hence like it's smelly, it's The Smell. This is an all ages place, so this is kind of like where everyone goes. It's kind of like a rite of passage if you went to high school in LA. I went before the pandemic when I was still in high school, and this is my first time after the pandemic now as a college student. And it's kind of interesting to see the way that the scene changes, you know, post pandemic, and how it's still living and, you know, kicking. We're finally getting that momentum that we had prior. It's still not there completely yet, but it's interesting to see like these new faces that really kind of took the pandemic and quarantine to like express themselves. And so you're seeing a lot more like people with wacky clothing, a lot more tattoos, a lot more mullets, piercings, etc.
Why is it important to have places that are cheap, like that people can afford, you know, not $80 Ticketmaster tickets?
Accessibility, you know, if you're an artist and you want to play and you don't have a huge following, you can play at these kind of venues. And so I think it's a lot about like collectiveness. We just did this festival out in Joshua Tree. It was completely free and we just invited everyone, and you could camp wherever you want. And it was kind of this coming up of cheap scenes and younger generations kind of taking the helm.
My name is Kiara Caban.
I'm Zuri.
And we are volunteering at The Smell.
Yeah, for a drunk punk show.
Mm-hmm.
I love The Smell so much because my first time here was like last year, I think. And then like a couple months later, I played here. My first ever show, like ever.
What do you play?
I play guitar.
You can be whoever you want to be here. It's a safe space. Not only that, you're accepted here, you're like embraced here. And
yeah,
that's why I love being here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a drummer in the same band.
Yeah.
And this is our singer.
Oh, hey.
Sorry, I was like not trying to interrupt.
So the way The Smell works is if you want to book a show here, you should volunteer first, because like it just shows that you care about the community and you like actually care about what you're doing and you don't just want to like get your band on stage. We volunteer a lot just because we love throwing shows here and we appreciate the space for being here. It's been here since the 90s and like does not make enough money to survive. And like it's crazy that it's been able to stay open this long. So that's why we volunteer our time here as much as we can.
That was just, I don't know if I want to say a blast from the past, but it almost felt like I was watching like a movie, because I haven't encountered that type of mind in such a long time, probably since I was in my late teens and 20, living in Brooklyn or, you know, at shows in San Francisco, and these kids are just like fun. Walking up to the Venice West, right off Lincoln Boulevard. I actually have no idea who's playing tonight, but we'll find out. You always dance your way to So this last spot is a small music venue, but it's also a pretty good restaurant and bar, and you're pretty guaranteed to see some good music any night of the week if you just show up.
Sort of like we did tonight. And it's one of the few places on the West Side where you could see live music consistently. So this is the most expensive place on the list, but it still could probably be classified as cheap.
Yeah, tickets are usually under $15, which is less than Ticketmaster's service charge, I should note. So the band playing here tonight is called Magic Giant. They're a local band, and they had a ton of fans that were singing along. They knew every word to every song. I'd never heard of the band, but apparently they're known. If I'm not mistaken, you do live music every single night that you're open?
Every day except Mondays. This is AJ Graves, head of security at the Venice West. We have every genre here, country, hip hop, heavy metal, punk rock. My band's played here. I'm in a Misfits tribute band called Doyle Rules. We played here last week, sold out. You know, we have George Porter from New Orleans. We have The New Party, Stone Foxes, KRS-One coming in next week, selling out. Mix Master Mike from the Beastie Boys. So we have all genres, country, we do it all.
LA is a very special place. That's annoying to say, annoying to hear, but it's true, and it's because of just this wealth of the arts that we have here. It's where all the big music studios are. Pretty much every famous musician lives here, unless they've, you know, moved to Utah on a mountain or some shit.
Yeah, but but the prices can get kind of nuts. I mean, there's a beautiful theater next to my apartment, but their cheapest shows are $30 a night. And, you know, if you're just trying to hang out and have a good time for 20 minutes before dinner, I mean, that's not super accessible. Half of it is just, it's so nice to be in the presence of somebody who is making music. And if you could do that for free, or if you could do that for cheap, or if you could just be going to a cool restaurant and there's the band playing in the corner, like, there's something so special about that.
I love playing in Los Angeles. Los Angeles is the funnest. My name is Noah Sacre. I make music under the name Spielberg, and we just got to open for Magic Giant. Anything you want to do is available here any night of the week. Everyone is based here. Like, you're an Uber ride away from anything you want to do. You want to do a show, you want to be in movies, you want to be a PA, like, anything is truly possible. And there's palm trees, and there's good weather.
That is all the time we have for you tonight. We'll put all the spots we visited in the show notes so you can check them out too. And keep an eye out for a full list of our favorite places across Los Angeles that we'll be posting to our website over on las.com/howtoLA.
Thank you for listening to the weekend edition of the LA Report. I'm Julia Paskin. We'll be back tomorrow with more of what's happening around LA and Southern California. Until then, you can read more at LAist.com or listen live anytime on the LAist app or on the radio at 89.3 FM.
The LA Report is produced by Michael Cosentino. Catherine Mailhouse is the Director of Content Development. Our editor is Megan Garvey, and our engineer is Sean Corey Campbell. Support for this podcast is made possible by Gordon and Donna Crawford, who believe that quality journalism makes Los Angeles a better place to live. Studios.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclavia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.